Hello and welcome back. This is the Magic Lantern Show.
This is the Magic Lantern Show with Brandon.
And Austin.
That's us.
Damn, we didn't even rehearse that. That was nice.
We didn't. That was right off the dome piece.
Brandon, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, almost quite certainly there.
This year has just, time doesn't make sense anymore.
It doesn't, but we're one holiday closer to a new year, and I highly doubt 2021 is going to change much. But we all want to hope it does.
I need it too. But this time of year, I'm a Thanksgiving guy. This last corner of the year, I'm a Halloween man, I'm a Thanksgiving man, I'm a Christmas man.
See, I feel like I usually overlook Thanksgiving. And I realize that a lot of that is because my family has a tendency to make Thanksgiving and Christmas the same dinner. I don't eat much turkey. So my mom always makes turkey and ham for both and then makes it again for Easter. So from like November to April, it's just Thanksgiving, turkey, and ham.
Honestly, I'm a food guy, like you said. I'll do turkey. I'm a turkey
First
man,
world
I'm a
problems.
ham man, I'm a mashed potato man, I'm a corn man, I'm a green bean casserole man.
Ooh.
Oof.
You see, I'm a potato man in general. I think potato is the most versatile thing on the planet. It's made into everything and anything. You get mashed potatoes, you get a baked potato, scallop potatoes with some ham, maybe a little leftover ham. That was a staple during the holidays, you know? And then potato vodka, dude. I mean, I
That
don't know many people making their own vodka, but like it is vodka. Potatoes are versatile. It's the best thing on the planet.
oh, they are. And don't even get me started on pumpkin pie, Brandon. We could do a pumpkin pie
Ooh.
episode.
Oh man, this is the official podcast of pumpkin pie with a little bit of Cool Whip on top.
Cool whip. One thing I remember more than anything about Thanksgiving, though, Brandon, is whether it be my grandmother or my mother or my aunt, whoever is cooking during the day. Most people are either watching football or the kids, they're playing video games.
Oh, they're playing video games, especially in the month of November, where we get some of our biggest AAA title releases of the year.
Just before Christmas.
Oh, baby, Christmas.
Merry Chrysler. So
Jesus.
we just thought we'd shift the Magic Lantern Show into our a different little, like, maybe like a sub show. And we're just going to talk some games.
Little spin-off series, you know?
We don't know what we're calling it yet. We'll workshop it through the episode. Maybe we come up with a cool word.
If not, feel free to send it over to our email if you've got any cool suggestions. Maybe follow us on Twitter, Instagram, drop some DMs, give us some suggestions if you like this kind of thing.
Plugged it early. I already think
Oh, baby.
I have an idea for our subtitle. But I'm not going to say it until we talk about a game that has it.
I
Okay.
have no doubt you'll segue into it perfectly.
I'm sure I will. Do you want to just, I just figured we'd talk about some of our favorite games.
Are we doing of all time here?
I am doing of all time. If you want me to
Like,
start out, I've got some suggestions that
hit me
vary.
with it,
I'd be a terrible fan if I didn't just mention offhand Pokemon. I'm a Pokemon man.
dude. Oh, absolutely. I, during quarantine, picked up a copy of Pokemon Moon, Ultra Moon,
Ooh,
because
okay.
I bought Sun on release when it first came out a couple years ago. My girlfriend has a 2DS that she hasn't touched since she bought it. And I was like, man, I really want to get a 3DS again. She goes, I have a 2DS. I was like, this whole time? So I bought Ultra Moon, started playing, got a couple hours in, the DS dies. And I'm like, hey, baby, do you got the charger? She goes, I thought I grabbed it. I said, you left it on your bed at your apartment, didn't you? And she's like, no. A week later, we go to her apartment. It's sitting right on the bed. So I
Oh.
haven't got to play since, and I've been real sad about it.
Sorry to hear. Have you always been a Pokemon
As a kid, I was poor.
guy?
So I didn't have a Game Boy. I didn't have any of the fancy stuff. But my brother ended up getting a Game Boy Advance SP.
All
But
the best.
yeah, right? Premium shit, right? Had the backlit screen, the whole nine. Modern advancements. We did not have Pokemon. My brother was not a fan of Pokemon by the time that he got that. He's about 4 years older than I am. And he was already out of the Pokemon card collecting phase. Because as kids, we all collected the cards. Nobody knew how to play the game. We just wanted shiny things, you know?
Same.
And I ended up sticking with Yu-Gi-Oh! Through my teenage years and everything as well. And I ended up playing Yu-Gi-Oh! At a semi-competitive level. So I actually strayed away from Pokemon for most of my childhood. And then funnily enough, once I started working at Walmart with you guys, I ended up buying a 3DS with some other things I traded in and started playing again with you guys. And that was the first time I like really got to play Pokemon. And that was Pokemon Y that I bought.
Wow. So you're kind of late to the game. I always
forget, super late.
I always forget you're kind of younger than me just by a little bit. So we're a little off. I've been a Pokemon guy since day one. I got a Fire Red for Christmas. I skipped Gen 2. I got Sapphire, which is Gen 3. Fire Red, one of my favorite games ever made.
Hell yeah.
I skipped Gen 4. I usually skip some.
I noticed.
And then I got really into Pokemon again in senior year of high school. I had a buddy, Danny Washington, friend of the show. And he was like, this new game's coming out. You got to play some old ones. So I played Gen 2's remake, Heart Gold, Soul Silver. I played Platinum, and I got real into it again, and then I bought Black and White and Black 2, and then, like you said, we started working together, and I've still been grinding along. Pokemon. You brought up Yu-Gi-Oh!, and I feel like we're going to do a Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode at one point. We're going to watch some movies.
Oh, without a doubt. Those movies aren't, like, great movies, but they get my little childhood self super excited.
I'm currently staring at a sticker I have on my dresser. It's Pegasus with a smug face, and he's saying, Kaiba boy, as he sips some wine.
Yugi boy.
You got a game you've thought of yet?
You know, you brought up Pokemon, and, you know, I've had my fun with it, but I got to throw it out there, Rocket League, you know?
Yeah,
knew this was coming, you know? Simple game, car soccer. It doesn't get any simpler than that. People have heard of soccer or football, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, with a little jet-powered car. That's the game. I've played for over 3 years now. You play some. I know you dabble.
I do dabble. I was actually introduced by the game by Chansey, front of the show, at Sir Giggle. And he was like,
guest.
He was got to play fun. I'm like, it's a fucking FIFA game or some shit, dude. Like, I don't want to be involved in this. And then color me impressed. I play less than I used to. I think we talked about it in the Spider-Man episode. The Epic Games takeover is riddle me this. The DLC, like the Fast and Furious cars, are they still in or are those gone forever?
Okay, so the way that they ended up doing that is if you own the game before a certain time period. So if you own the game before this summer, and you already bought those cars, you keep them, and they become legacy items.
Yes.
But what I've learned, because I'm on PC, is that if I play through the Epic Game Store and not through Steam, A, it's smoother, it's more optimized, but B, all of those DLC items are not in the game.
Oh.
But what they've done is, in the new drop system, instead of getting things after a match, you get a RNG prize box to open when you hit certain levels, and as a reward the cars are in those, in some of them, and the current Rocket Pass has some of the cars in it as well.
Okay,
so with those random drops now you can get painted variants of original cars that did not previously come painted. As you know, the Dominus is now a paintable car.
Yeah,
that can be dropped in those secret drops now.
I feel like If we're talking games like this, we got to ask the hard-hitting questions for each one. Are you a Dominus man, or are you an Octane man?
I'm both, and it depends on the day. I played a little bit the other night, and I was feeling the Dominus. It completely varies on when the last time I played was. Because, like, the other day, it was the first time I played in almost a week, and I pound out on the Dominus real quick because I find that it makes me get in the groove of aerials faster.
Okay.
And like flipper sets and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But if I start off right on the Octane right away, there's like a 4-game buffer period where I'm going to play like shit before my brain clicks in the fact that I'm on a different hitbox.
I'm
the Dominus, I'm immediately just in the zone every time.
Damn. You got a favorite extra game mode?
I hit my highest rank in Rumble, but if I'm being completely serious, I think Hoops is probably my favorite.
Wow. Okay. I used to be a diehard, please don't kick me, Snow Day fan.
I fucking knew you were going to say that.
It's, man.
My brother made that game mode.
I used to play a lot of ATV Off-Road Fury 2, and there was a mini game where you could play hockey with it, and I played that a lot. So that's what reminds me of, but my highest rank is Rumble currently. Well, used to be currently. I haven't played in a while. Yeah.
What was your highest rank?
I think it was Plat.
Ooh, look at you moving up in the world.
I'm a fan.
Last season, I hit Champ 3, Division 3 in Rumble.
Ooh.
And then in 2s, I was Champ 2, Div 3. And then in 3s, I was Champ 1, Div 3. But I didn't do my 3s placements until 2 weeks before the season ended. And last season was the first time I ever played a game of Snow Day on PC.
Oh, okay.
And I ended up hitting, like, high diamond off of my placements and then never touched it again. And I only played it because there was a challenge for the Rocket Pass that made me play it.
I could go on all day about challenges and Rocket Pass, because I used to be a diehard Rocket Pass guy, and now I'm just like, man, that's just a lot of grinding.
That's how I feel with all these games now. Like, I play the newest Modern Warfare. I've been playing a lot of Rogue Company lately, which is a new one I'll talk about here in a moment. And all these games tend to have this new, like, Battle Pass system. Obviously, you know, they make a ton of money off things like this. Fortnite is, like, the pioneer of this. EA was doing it for years and nobody liked it, and now everyone's doing it, so everyone's just on board. But to be fair, they're not pay to win. They're just skins.
Yeah.
And I find that, like, with Fortnite and Call of Duty, I've been buying the Battle Passes and things like that and never finishing them. Because I'll and then not touch the game for 2 months. And then I'm like, oh, there's a week left of the Battle Pass. I should play.
That's my problem too, yeah. You brought up something that I want to bounce my next suggestion off of. You mentioned it's not an advantage. It's just skins. That brings me to Overwatch. I play a lot of Overwatch.
That's a game that I've been asked to play about a half a dozen times, and every one of my friends on Facebook that finds out I have a PC set up is like, do you play Overwatch? And I'm like, no, it's never been my type of game. And now I play Rogue Company, which is basically Overwatch.
I wasn't an Overwatch man, and then I got into it, and I dip in and out of my interest in games quite quickly. Like, I love Overwatch, but I will go 6 months without even touching Overwatch. It's just, it's one of those games where as long as I'm up to date with what they've done to the character I play, I'm pretty good. I main Pharah, I main Zenyatta, I used to main Symmetra. You're not going to understand any of this, are you?
Nope, those are like the only three character names I don't know off the top of my head.
Egyptian lady with a jetpack, I play Robot Monk Guy. I played Indian Lady with Robot Arm. And then they changed up her moveset, and I don't play her too much anymore. But I played Roadhog, the fat guy with a hazmat helmet. And I'm a big fan. I used to watch The League for quite a bit. Soul Dynasty, represent. And it's just one of those things that just, like, it's a game that makes me feel good. It's just a fun world. That's also a shooter where I feel like you play something like Call of Duty and you get a bunch of 12-year-olds screaming at you and shit, and you're like, this ain't fun.
Oh, yeah. It's worse now than ever because Modern Warfare has, like, really funny death chatter as soon as you kill somebody or they kill you.
Yeah.
You get that little snippet of someone yelling fuck at the top of their lungs, and it's the funniest thing on the planet.
You got another pick?
I'm going to throw out Rogue Company on there since it kind of ties in with a similar theme of Overwatch. It's a 4v4 kind of a deal. Same thing as Overwatch. Each person selects a character. That character has its own gun loadout, its own, like, what you would call moveset. They've got their own specialty and things like that. Very similar thing. It's kind of like It's kind of like Valorant and CSGO style. One of the game modes is where you've got a bomb to plant and the other team has to defend.
Okay.
It's free to play through the Epic Games Store currently. It's on console, it's on Switch, it's on PC, it's on everything but mobile at this point. I've been having a ton of fun with it because it feels a lot like that Overwatch, Valorant, CSGO feel, but a lot more casual.
Okay.
So it doesn't feel as sweaty or like the aiming system is far more forgiving. It's a third person shooter game, so it feels far more forgiving on the bloom and things like that than a lot of other games that are similar to
Okay.
it, which I have enjoyed a lot. And the skins in the game are super fucking cool, and they haven't released a battle pass yet. And it's made by Hi-Rez Studios, who also makes Free Overwatch, also called Paladins.
Oh, Paladins.
So Hi-Rez Studios is the one that made Rogue Company. They've pretty much specialized in making a free version of a polished game that isn't as polished. Because in all seriousness, Rogue Company is basically just Valorant, but 4v4.
But you recommend, though.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's free to play. I mean, what's the worst that happens if you download it and try it out? It's a small download, no Call of Duty bullshit with a 260 gig download. It's super casual and fun, and I feel like it's very forgiving if you're not the greatest at aiming. And it's more slow paced than Valorant or Overwatch by far. I mean, Overwatch, if you've watched any of the championships, it's chaotic if you're not in the game to watch.
There should be an epilepsy warning on
There
those
really
clips.
should. Like, I've watched clips of like Korean championship teams on Overwatch, and I'm like, how do you keep up? How is this a spectator sport? Like, this is Rocket League has blown up because it's a spectator sport. It's simple. It's car soccer, and people are like, oh, it's car soccer with jets. Overwatch, if you are new to this entire scene and you open up a stream of an Overwatch championship, you're gonna be like, oh yeah, fuck all of that.
I was going to bring up another slightly modern game that's not chaotic. Minecraft. Are you a Minecraft man?
So I actually bought Minecraft on PC
Ooh.
about 6 months ago
What?
because I have an RTX 2060, which is a low-end RTX card, but Minecraft RTX sample packs I wanted to check out, and my girlfriend really wanted to play Minecraft. We're both super ADHD and things like that, so she was like, well, I think that this might help me like have a hobby because she wants to get into gaming and wants to play more casual games like Minecraft. She doesn't want to be yelled at by 12-year-olds on Call of Duty. And I downloaded it, and she said that the way the game plays, like the movement, said makes her feel sick, like almost motion sickness.
Really?
And I'm like, okay, so switch it to third person. And she goes, that's almost worse.
Oh yeah, third person's pretty bad.
Yeah. I personally have not played a lot of Minecraft. I feel like if I had a solid group to play with, I'd get super into it because that's how I was with Ark. And a lot of those sandbox style games, I feel like if you're with somebody who's experienced that can like show you what these worlds are capable of, then it's super fun. I don't have the attention span to try to find all that out myself and play alone.
Okay. I wish I would have known this because Chansey and I had a server for a while called Papa John's Pizza that we played in.
Of course, it's called Papa John's Pizza.
And it held up to 8 people on the Minecraft Realm server, so you could have been in there. Well, maybe in the future
I could have.
we can try to figure this out. We have a little play date.
Maybe, you know, maybe we do that, you know? It would be something like if I had people who knew what they were doing that could like teach me how to play the game, it would be super fun. But like, because that's when I first started playing on PC, I played Ark. And Ark is a sandbox open world game where you can tame dinosaurs and all that crazy shit. And I played the game in early beta a long time ago, and my buddy Brian played it in alpha. And we played the game throughout its full release and everything like that. And it's super, super fun, but playing with him because he already knew the game made it viable. And then I ended up meeting a couple friends who I met through Rocket League that also played Ark, and we all just started grinding on like boosted servers and shit so that we could take over entire servers in one day and only play once a week. And it was super fun. And they've been asking me to get back into it like once every 6 months for the last 2 years. And I'm like, are you guys going to stick to it this time? And they're like, probably not, but it'll be fun for today. I'm like, dude, I'm not downloading 150 gigs for like 20 minutes of fun.
Exactly.
Just to uninstall it again.
The gig thing brings up a big problem I have with modern gaming, which is you got to download a whole game. And then like there's always updates and DLC packs and battle passes. And this company bought this company, so now it's a different setup.
Exactly.
I want to try to talk about some old games.
Let's get into some classics, baby. You brought up ATV Off-Road Fury.
Oh yeah. Are you a fan?
And so when I was a kid, we had a PS2 like any smart person would have in the early 2000s.
Same.
And I probably played more of that game and then Tony Hawk's Underground than anything else as a child.
I have Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4 on my list here I'm looking at because Tony Hawk games are so special to me.
And they've been remastered now.
Oh, have you played the remaster yet?
My brother has, and I went over there for my nephew's birthday and I said, you bought the new Tony Hawk? He goes, fuck yeah, I did. What do I look like? He's a little older than you are.
Okay, yes.
He gets it. And I said, is it perfect? He goes, almost. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? He said, they did the build your own skate park thing, and they changed how everything is done compared to the old games. Mm-hmm. I was like, you can't do that. He goes, yeah. He's like, I'm honestly like, he was baffled at the fact that he still has muscle memory of playing these games. And he's like, let's see if I remember how to do that trick. And he busted it out. He's like, how the fuck do I remember that? It's been like 15 years.
I'm the same way. So first thoughts on the new Tony Hawk. He's absolutely right. The creator park is mangled. I don't know what they did to it. And the creator skater options are just so dwindled down from what I was expecting. But if you just look at...
Really?
Yeah, dude. If you compare it to like American Wasteland, like an older one... Like, there were just so many more options, I think.
See, and that's what I expected is, like, a remaster. To call it a remaster is to take all of the core elements of the old game and improve on them slightly to where it still has those core values, but it's polished and with today's technology.
See, maybe that's my fault. It is a remaster of the original Tony Hawk 1 and 2, and they didn't have a bunch of customizable options. So maybe that's a valid point, but I'm just like... Now in the day of like you can play online in this game, why wouldn't you want people to just be like as different as possible?
Right.
I don't know. But I was a big Tony Hawk guy. Did you play a lot of Tony Hawk?
I was real young when they first started coming out and things like that. So I played a lot of Tony Hawk's Underground more than anything because as I started getting to that age where gaming was something I was wanting to do more, we had a GameCube.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby, the good old classic GameCube, which I still have to this day, but I don't have cords or controllers for it anymore. I just have the Cube.
You gotta get on that eBay, bro.
Dude, I'm telling you, my girlfriend asked me like 3 months ago. She's like, I want to get a GameCube. And I was like, I have one. She's like, why are you just now telling me this? I was like, I didn't know that you wanted a GameCube in 2020.
Okay. You don't even want to look at the cost of Smash Bros. Melee on eBay.
Oh, I can't even begin to imagine.
I spent $55. No case, no art, just the disc.
That's like double the original MSRP.
Yeah, well, that's life. You brought up Tony Hawk's Underground, and I just want to say here, my idea for the name of the show is Magic Lantern Show Underground, because
Yes!
I'm also a fan of Need for Speed Underground 1 and 2.
Yes. So that's probably one of the only racing games I played as a kid, in all honesty, other than maybe a NASCAR game on the GameCube one time, was Need for Speed Underground. And I brought that up to my coworker, who's a few years younger than I am, and I said, dude, you were like 6 when those games came out. You don't have a true appreciation for the Need for Speed Underground. I said, do you have any idea what that soundtrack did to my life?
That sweet The Doors featuring Snoop Dogg cover.
I swear. Oh, man. That's my childhood.
You know, bringing it up though. So is, are we in agreement? Magic Lantern Show Underground.
Oh yeah, run that all day. I knew we would end up with a perfect title, and knowing that that's what your idea was, of course that's going to come up in the conversation.
I'll whip up some art. It'll be nice. You brought up not playing racing games. You've never played Burnout 3?
I didn't play a single Burnout game in my entire life.
Burnout 3 is your standard like Need for Speed racing game. Less customizing, but more just like stock cars. But the premise of Burnout 3 being you can destroy the other cars mid-race.
Oh my, that's a Mad Max shit.
And it adds more to your boost meter. So the game just becomes faster and faster and faster and more chaotic. But there's also a side game mode. I think it's called Crash. Have to forgive me. It's you and a second car, and it shows you like a section of race map, and there's like explosives you can hit, and your goal is to cause as much damage as humanly possible in the map.
How have I not played these games?
You should really look into it. I just rebought this game for my PS2. It's in a box right now, and my hope is when my renovations are done, I can exclusively sit out there and play Burnout 3. Because that is my goal.
That sounds like the most awesome thing I've ever heard.
You got something else?
I'm going to keep a classic one out there that I know we recently talked about, and that's Freak Style.
Freak Style! Brah, brah.
Probably, other than the ATV Offroad Fury and the MX versus ATV series, probably the only other dirt bike game that I still talk about to this day.
Yeah, somebody brought up Metal Militia at work, and I was like, yo, what up?
I was just talking about Brian Deegan to my roommate like 2 weeks ago. I said, you know the name Brian Deegan, obviously, because he's a fan of Supercross and things like that. And he's like, yeah, of course. I said, have you ever seen his kids? And he's like, yeah, they're badasses. I was like, well, yeah, their dad's Brian fucking Deegan. Like, you got six-year-olds over here doing backflips on dirt bikes. And I'm like, I'm pathetic.
Oh man, I played a lot of Freaks. MX versus ATV Unleashed, you could fly planes and drive monster trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this because I was talking to my coworker about MX versus ATV because we both played it a ton. And he was saying how that's like the only game his dad was actually like ever into playing. Because we were talking about how dads just don't have a true appreciation for how much the technology has changed. And you think that they would like games more now because they're so much more advanced than the ones they played when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, my dad plays newer games, but he's terrible at all of them. Like, he plays Rainbow Six Siege, but he plays the campaign because he hates going online and getting his ass kicked.
Facts.
But, like, MX versus ATV Unleashed, I remember vividly in, like, the fifth and sixth grade, in the summer between, trying so bad to do a triple backflip on one of the big giant hills in the map. Mm-hmm. And my cousin and I were just going back and forth, passing the controller back and forth, trying to see who could hit the triple backflip first.
Yeah, what you say, I played a lot with my brother as well. And I think the MX and ATV games were very like, they're very good at giving you a sandbox to just make your own fun in. Like yeah. I mentioned before, the planes, my brother and I would try to do this thing where it was like, he would be, one of us would be in a vehicle and the other one would be in a plane. And it was like, could you hit the other person with the plane?
I thought you were going to say, could we reenact the scene where one of us jumps over the plane with a monster truck?
Could one of us reenact the entire movie Con Air?
I was playing this game with my coworker, and I was like, what happened to these games? They got, like, super hyper-realistic and started giving you, like, only tracks. And I was like, so it became the Forza of dirt bikes? He's like, exactly. I was like, man, that sucks.
It does.
Because it was a sandbox game.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there was a race. There was like a race mode. There was a career mode or whatever. But nobody gave a shit about that, right?
I don't remember that at all.
It was just a lot. I just remember a lot of like my brother's driving around a monster truck and I kamikaze him with a plane. I'm like, all right, I'm going to be a dirt bike. You see if you can hit the dirt bike with a plane. Ah, so fun. Trophy trucks, dune buggies.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I'm in it.
Easily. Like one of my favorite games that never got boring.
No, I could still play it tomorrow.
Yeah, there's very few games, and I'll bring up another one in a moment. There's very few games that like I can go back and no matter what the graphics look like, still play. MX versus ATV Unleashed is definitely one of them because I could go for days. I could probably even bust out some Freestyle and have some fun. But most importantly, the game that I always come back to is Skate 3.
I wasn't a skate guy.
See, I wasn't hooked on Skate until in high school. My buddy had a PS3. And I had an Xbox 360. So I was over at his house a whole bunch, and he played Skate. And the mechanics of having to do the tricks on the thumbstick like that, I find are more realistic than Tony Hawk button mashing. Obviously, there's a huge nostalgia boner for Tony Hawk games, but as far as realism goes, we have new games now. We have Skater XL and Session now. Session, I believe, is made by the same a couple guys from the guys who made Skate. And because EA would refuse to let them make a new Skate game, they were like, well, fuck it, we'll do it ourselves. And that's got like super hyper realistic. So your left thumbstick is your front side of your board, your right thumbstick is the back side. And to do tricks, you have to flick both. You have to pop the ollie with your right stick and flick the board to do whatever kickflip, heel flip you want with your left stick.
See, you've lost me right there. I think what you
It's so much more complex.
like your brother had mentioned, it's just muscle memory at some point for Tony Hawk
Exactly.
people. You're just like, okay, I need to do this grab trick. I know it's going to be the O button. I know it's going to be a direction. I started
Right.
playing Skate and I'm like, I feel like I'm starting at square one and I don't know what I'm doing.
It's super
I've
difficult.
actually been playing some Skate 3. I got it I want to say on like a Games with Gold. And when I downloaded everything to my external hard drive, I was playing some stuff. And like Skate 3, honestly, I'm a bit more into the story now. And it's a lot of fun. Especially the
The story is super solid.
what's the mode where you break your bones?
Yeah, what do they call that? The Meat Hall or some Meat Hall of Fame or some
Yeah,
shit?
that's honestly
I don't
that's the kind of fun I'm looking for in a game. You just give me a weird mini game.
That game it's so sandboxy and open worldy that it reminds me of almost like a Ubisoft like Assassin's Creed. Where you can completely divert from the main story and still have a fuckload of fun. Or you can play the main story and the main story is super solid. And then when you beat that, because it's not that long, you've still got hundreds of little mini things you can redo over and over and do it a different way every single time.
That's the kind of replayability I'm looking for in a game. Not.
That's what I'm saying is there's so few games with replayability that were made back then, and Skate 3 is one that I always come back to.
I gotta ask you, are you a fighting game man?
So I was actually just going to say that I feel like Tony Hawk, I always compare it to a Mortal Kombat style skating game
That's
where
great.
you're going to memorize your combos and you're going to know exactly what you want to do.
That is a great, honestly, that's a great analogy because that's exactly what I think. Are you a Mortal Kombat man?
I played a ton of Mortal Kombat X. I'm always a Scorpion main.
Oh, fuck. I was gonna
Not
ask
gonna lie.
you. God damn it. I'm a Sub-Zero man.
I'm almost always a Scorpion main because I have his, it's the muscle memory thing. I have his like chain attacks perfectly timed, memorized in my brain to the point that like when I played with my buddy Brian a lot, he would always switch it up and he used a lot of Ermac in Mortal Kombat X,
Ermac.
which he's kind of broken, I'm not gonna lie. Like some of the characters, I did experiment a lot with those characters because I did play consistently for like a year and a half. I always go back to Scorpion just because I have everything memorized, and he's classic. But I bought Mortal Kombat X on my PC on like a stupid sale, and I find that I don't have as much fun just playing that game alone. Like the campaign for that game isn't actually bad, it's just kind of repetitive.
Exactly. That's the
It's like you know what's gonna
I
happen.
feel like I always have more fun with Mortal Kombat when I'm playing at like a family gathering or like hanging out with my brother or something. Like that's
Exactly.
because it's you can shit talk, but it's also like it's a tangible thing. You're right there. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And it's also one of those games where like you really can't cheat at Mortal Kombat, in all honesty. There's no screen peeking or anything like that because you're on the same platform.
Let's,
you know, looking at the same screen kind of a thing.
Let's be honest. There's some cheese in it, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I was a kid, my brother refused to tell me that you could look up your move list in the start menu and would just fuck me up.
I got to bring up my favorite fighting game franchise. Are you a Tekken guy?
Oh, yes. You and I have talked about this before. Actually, I think on an episode before.
We might have, yeah.
Tekken was one of the first games I ever had on PlayStation 1.
I am maybe one of the only people I know, besides you, obviously, that loves Tekken. I have every Tekken. I play them consistently. Who's your main?
So I don't remember like almost any of the character names at this point. Yoshimitsu, is that his name?
Oh, yeah.
So when I was a kid, my brother and I went down to Florida. I think I was 6 years old, turning seven that summer. And we spent the summer in Florida with my grandparents. And the PlayStation 1 Slim had just come out. You know, the real small, almost white one?
Yeah.
And my grandfather needed something for us to do when we weren't in the pool because, as anybody else knows, Florida rains every 20 minutes. So he went and bought us a PlayStation 1 and let us pick any game we wanted. And my brother picked Tekken. I didn't begin to understand what the hell Tekken was, and he did that exact move. He didn't tell me how to play the game, and he would just kick my ass. And then I just kept using Yoshimitsu because as a kid, I remember saying out loud, I was like, I want him because he's got a cool sword and he looks like a robot.
That's. I think I started with Tekken 3, actually, on the PlayStation 1.
Yeah, baby.
And subsequently came back. I got into like 4, 5, and 6 during my middle school, high school years. I'm a big Horan. I'm going to say it. My defense is they say his name different in every single game. I'm going to go Horong. That's how I say it. He's the redhead guy. He does Taekwondo.
Feel free to hit us on our socials if you want to correct Austin.
Feel free to go fuck off if you want to correct Austin. But I liked Tekken more, and your comparison earlier from Mortal Kombat to Tony Hawk is good because Tekken is more like skate in that the button doesn't do a broad move. The button is just a limb.
Yeah.
So it just becomes like what weird ass combination can you hit that's good and not just like downright B. You know what I mean?
Pretty much, yeah. I remember as a kid with Yoshimitsu just spamming his little spin attack on the ground.
Yeah.
And because that's the only one I knew how to do when I button mashed it. Mm-hmm. And I just muscle memoried the button mash.
I'd be remiss not to bring up, we were just talking about fun little game modes that games put in to keep you coming back. Tekken is like a master of that. Tekken 3's got a volleyball mode and a Tekken Force mode, which is like a side scroller. Tekken Tag Tournament had bowling, which they brought back for Tekken 7, which I'm currently playing. Tekken 5 had its own like third person separate horror game inside of it. Like, I love stuff like that. That's what gets me going.
My question is, how did Tekken not blow up as big as Mortal Kombat when they're, in my opinion, I think the early Tekken games are better than the Mortal Kombat games that were out at the same time.
Honestly, I think it's more of like, it's probably an arcade thing. I mean, Tekken's like a big franchise. They're still chugging along and doing their thing. But I think Mortal Kombat just had that, almost like that cringe edgelord factor that like, the media saw it and parents were afraid of it. And now, like, now it's just so ingrained that, like, Mortal Kombat's not your daddy's Street Fighter, you know?
Right. And I think a lot of it, too, is that Mortal Kombat focused so much on gore so early on. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the current Mortal Kombat, like, I looked up, because the newest Mortal Kombat, which I have not played, Mortal Kombat 11, has Spawn as a DLC character.
Mm-hmm.
You know I've got a huge boner for Spawn, so I'm like half tempted to buy it just for that. But this game is so much more complex and so gory. Like Saw 8 gory.
Yeah. Somebody pointed out, I don't know if you've seen the DLC for all the characters that came out. Somebody on Twitter, I can't remember who, I'm sorry you get cred, it looks like a Smash Bros. Roster. But dad's got to pick the characters. Like, they just added Rambo, and they got Terminator and shit in it.
Pretty much, dude. Like, Mortal Kombat X threw in Predator and
Alien.
Alien, yeah.
And they have
And then they threw
Leatherface.
in, I was gonna say, then they threw in like Leatherface and shit. It's just, I don't know. I thought Spawn as a fighting character made sense because, you know, he's like an anti-hero with an actual move set that you can apply to a game.
Yeah. Spawn, I actually remember Spawn being in the, I think it was the Xbox version of Soul Calibur 2. He was a playable character. If anybody's not familiar,
I never played in my life.
Soul Calibur is just Tekken, but there's weapons. Everybody's got weapons. And it's like an alternate medieval times. I'm getting close to my end of my list. Are you an RPG fan?
Not really, sort of, kind of.
Are you a Final Fantasy?
I find it... No, I've never played Final Fantasy. I've watched people play Final Fantasy, and I've been asked to play it about a dozen times in the last couple years. And I was just going to say, I find it really hard to get into RPG games myself because, like, if it's not something I'm super interested in, it won't grab me at all.
No, I understand completely. I used to be a big Final Fantasy Kingdom Hearts guy, but I just can't. I can't keep up with all the different because they're very time consuming.
I was actually going to say my only exposure to Final Fantasy is through Kingdom Hearts.
Also, Kingdom Hearts fucking rocks, right?
Kingdom Hearts fucking rocks. I did play Kingdom Hearts a good chunk back in the day, and that was super fun. I didn't understand most of what was going on because I didn't know who, like, any of the characters were, aside from, you know, the obvious Goofy and shit.
Goofy and
but,
shit.
But, like, the gameplay, the score, the whole thing was just flawless. The storyline, even if you don't know who everybody is, still makes sense. It was solid.
It's super solid. And if you don't have, do you have another one?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Because I was thinking about wrapping it up now, but I got one more game that I think will end it up.
Throw that last one out there, and then we'll wrap it up, because I got to get ready for work anyway.
If I'm thinking of a game I'm playing in Thanksgiving at my grandma's house, I'm thinking about the fact that my family fires up my grandma's Wii, and we're going to play some Wii bowling, some Wii sports.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell.
You can't go to Wii sports.
Wii sports is, I think people, obviously there's a love for Wii sports, but I think people honestly overlook how good it is. Fucking bowling by itself, I would pay full retail price for just that bowling game on my Switch.
Oh, 100%. I feel like Nintendo coming out with Wii Sports was the closest thing to world peace we've ever had. And they brought a lot of broken homes back together for the sake of a game.
And they also broke up a lot of homes.
Oh, absolutely. I was just talking about Wii Sports like a couple weeks ago with my buddy, because he was saying that he was going to kick his girlfriend's ass in Wii bowling and shit. And I was like, you really want to give it to her? Have her go play Wii boxing. That game is relentless.
Boxing is my least favorite one.
I hated it so much because it's like unnecessarily hard.
Yeah, for no reason. There's some really good. Do you ever play the extra modes, like the training modes? I know bowling had.
I did.
Power throws is always a favorite in my house.
I told my buddy, I was like, "Do you remember playing it where there's like 1,000 pins and you got to see how many you can knock down?" He's like, "Yeah, I used to love that one." I'm like, "Yeah, I used to sit there for hours and just run that game mode every time."
You know about the secret switch, right?
What do you mean?
You can throw the ball on the bumper on the side, and if you can balance it all the way straight down, when it gets to the back where the gutter should be, it clicks and just knocks down all of the pins.
What?
But you have to, like, ride that rail perfectly. You better get on YouTube after this and check this shit out.
How has it been, like, 12 years and I'm just now hearing about
this? You gotta look at the bumper. You gotta release the ball, like, the latest point. You gotta throw a little bit of spin on it and just... It's got to go all the way. I'm surprised you don't know about this.
Honestly, I feel like...
But I think...
I feel like I should have known this.
But that's the beauty of this game, right? It's so fucking simple and stupid and easy, but it's like, here's some extra game modes to get your skills better. Here's some little secrets, some little tidbits.
Nintendo's good at that, though. Nintendo's so good at just giving you the simplest idea and making it tangible and digestible for anybody of any audience.
So,
like, Wii Sports can be played by a 4-year-old and a 90-year-old, and they're going to have equal amounts of fun.
Exactly. And you know what? That's what the holidays are about. Bring us together, being thankful.
Hell yeah.
This has been our ep.
This has been it. Be thankful for the Magic Lantern Show. We're thankful for you.
Oh, wow. That was emotional.
Wasn't it?
Well, all right. I'm going to bring this up real quick because we are a movie podcast and we need to talk movies for 1 second. Let me rant. ABC is not airing It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, which we already know. It's November now. They're not airing the Thanksgiving special and they're not airing the Christmas special.
I just brought that up with my girlfriend as I was eating lunch, and she brought it up to me rather, and I was like, yeah, I feel like I shouldn't be surprised, but at the same time, like, that's kind of devastating.
You know what guy just on a whim last year bought the trilogy on Blu-ray?
Is it you?
It's this motherfucker. Yeah, that's right.
This motherfucker. I mean, you probably paid, what, like $9 for all three?
I think I paid $15.
I think that's worth it. $5 a piece for some classics.
For some oldies but goldies. So, like, maybe throw on a hoodie, get some pumpkin pie in you, watch the Thanksgiving special.
I think that's going to be the move this year, you know? I'm moving here in the next week or so from when this is coming out. And I'll be moved in December 1st, and we're starting off our new home and breaking it in with a little bit of spoilers. We're going to be watching the Die Hard movies, and we're having a Die Hard Christmas this year, folks. Are you guys ready for this?
I don't know if you're ready for this. 2 years ago, you said you were going to watch Die Hard.
2 years ago, I bought a steelbook collection of the Die Hard films and have not even so much as looked at the case.
I'm very excited for this because I think you're going to get – I think you're really going to like them.
I told my girlfriend that we have to watch the Die Hard movies as soon as we move in because we're going to do an episode on it. And she goes, okay, there's only like one good one.
There.
And I was like, Austin said he's really interested to see which ones I think are good and which ones are shit.
I don't want to spoil you with my opinions, but we'll just wait and see. That'll be a little stinger for next time.
Guess you guys are going to have to tune in again, you know? Find out what Brandon thinks about Die Hard and find out why Austin thinks he's wrong. Like, that's been today's episode, guys. Don't forget to smash that like button. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell notification.
Hit up Audible, corporate put show. In audible.com / Brandon doesn't play games.
Today's sponsorship was G Fuel. Use our supporter creator code to get 30% off your G Fuel.
In your arrogance, just do it.